185miles south.com.
Smash that Patreon button.
Miles South, a hardcore punk rock podcast. What's up, everyone? We are back and talking hardcore. This week, we're going to talk 1986. Holy shit. Helping out, you know him, you love him. It is the best dressed man on the pod. It is Daniel Sant. What's up, Dan?
A love-struck Romeo sings the streets a serenade.
Dude, is that from this year?
I don't know.
Shameful if not. Also helping out, it is Ben Merlis, a.k.a. Ben Edge, a.k.a. Bedge. What's up, Ben?
What's going on?
What is going on? And rounding us out, don't call him Cincinnati. It's a man known as Clevo. What's up, Clevo?
We speak of social unrest, conflict of interest, which in turmoil brings controversy. And that just speaks for itself.
Someone's hitting the year. I love it. Yeah, everyone, we're diving deep into the year 1986. And if you go back in the archives, we did a episode with Pops where we talked about what we thought was the best year of hardcore other than this current year. Don't get at me. And I chose 86. I think it is a great year of hardcore. Is still pretty early. It's before it gets, it kind of gets blown out in 84. But then as Pops talked on that podcast, in 85, it kind of reshapes and there's these different lanes that get carved out. And then in 86, you get a lot of bands putting out their best record. And this might not be the deepest year as like when we did 83 or something like that. But the stuff that is here for this year is solid as fuck. This is some all-time shit, in my opinion. And it's hard whittling my list down. Although, for a Super 7, this is one of the easier ones because, dude, I got like four songs from each band I need. So what's up? Dan, what do you think? 1986.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you go shopping and you buy the Campbell's soup and there's the condensed can that you have to add either water or milk or whatever to, or there's the just the regular larger can. This is the condensed can. It's full of goodness, but it is just compact. It's not like completely sprawling year across a million genres and a million different bands. It's just some of the best albums you will ever, ever own came out this year.
Hell yeah. Clevo, 86, what do you think?
So sometimes jokingly, but maybe not so jokingly, to tell people or say, I believe music achieved perfection in 1986. I think there's just a lot of genres that were firing on all cylinders in this year. This is also a weird year for me personally because, you know, this is like my between 8th grade and 9th grade year is 1986. You know, I was like around 14 years old. I had moved towns this year and went from being like, you know, whatever I was into in the one town I lived in to like being a weird kid in the new town I lived in. And, you know, really this is the year I was not really a punk and hardcore or into any of that yet. But this year really for me, it was like Metallica and Slayer, Megadeth, like the big three. And really just kind of getting into punk and hardcore, hearing some of the stuff for the first time. So big year for me musically, but it's just a big year musically overall.
Yeah, this is the year of Master Puppets and Rain and Blood. Yeah. So holy cow. On the metal front, Jesus, kid. All right, Ben, 1986, what's up?
By 1986, hardcore was over. The participants died, failed, lost interest, moved on, OD'd, got girlfriends pregnant, whatever, but there was more. The scene itself committed suicide. Psych, that's 1986 according to Stephen Blush, and we can get into that later, but here's what really happened in 1986.
No, let's get right into it since you had to troll us like that, right? Stephen Blush, you can go fuck yourself. fucking poser. Jesus Christ. You know, like, what, did he never hear the fucking Final Conflict LP? Comes out in 87, dude. You know?
Has he ever heard We're Not In This Alone?
I know. What a fucking goofball. So, yeah, Stephen Blush, every time I see you on a documentary, I'm like, this documentary sucks. No, like, whoever fucking dragged you out of your fucking trash can failed us all. So, yeah, total bummer that that dude exists. It is what it is, right? Hardcore never died. Hardcore is alive and well. And, yeah, why do you rank a fucking pretty great book with, like, that bullshit? Like, oh, you lost interest, so it must be done. Like, fucking just a child, right? Oh, I'm taking my toys and going home. It's over. I don't love it, so it's done.
Yeah, fucking, has he never heard Skate Punks?
That's right, dude. You missed out and never heard Skate Punks with Ben Edge gracing the mic. So, yeah. You fucked yourself, you fucking long hair. It is what it is.
Well,
Dan, you want to touch Blush before we let Ben go on?
I just think that anybody who speaks about absolutes when it comes to punk and hardcore has no grasp of what punk and hardcore is. You can't have an absolute when it comes to this because it is bigger than your opinion. It is vaster. And there is so much youthful passion happening every single year that I'm glad he thinks it's gone because then he's not around, except for when he's trying to peddle his book to everyone and link up with shows.
Fucking that's terrible. Right. That's right. It's like, oh, I'm going to do a slideshow and pimp my book at a what kind of show? Okay. But, anyway.
But also, how many people who were around at the time were really, really had that attitude?
Quite a few,
you know, thinking.
Quite a few, you know, which is
thinking,
strange.
thinking that, like people like SSD who think that if you weren't there at the time, you don't deserve to hear the music, or like that, you know, this thing was dead, and the bands, like, you know, whether bands were going metal or becoming rock bands or whatever they were doing or moving on or growing up or whatever. And then thinking like the kids, like youth of today, were doing something silly.
Right. Well, sucks to be wrong, dude. Happens to me a lot, also, but never that wrong.
Yeah. But also let's say you hate youth of today. It doesn't matter. They're technically a hardcore band. Therefore, technically hardcore is still alive. Like, it doesn't matter what you think of youth of today. Am I wrong? Okay.
No. So you're in this instance, Ben. You
frequently, but not in this statement.
That's right. That's right. Are you asking overall or in this direct question?
All right. Here's what really happened in 1986. Debut releases by Slapshot, Instead, The Offspring, Dag Nasty, Underdog, Crumbsuckers, Crippled Youth, Lemonheads, Beowulf, Straight Ahead, Egg Hunt, False Liberty, Blast, and Husker Du signs to a major label. Dag Nasty fires their first singer in early 86. Their second singer quits in mid 86, and they get their third singer by late 86. Bad Brains get groovy. 7 Seconds gets wimpy. Naked Ray Gun, DI, False Prophets, Mad Parade, and White Flag keep what's left of 1.5 alive. And then the Adolescents save the day by reuniting in the nick of time. It's a big year for crossover with releases by Cro-Mags, Ludachrist, Crumbsuckers, The Accused, and Beowulf. Bands who break up, Embrace and Rites of Spring, so the first emo tears are shed this year. Dead Kennedys and Black Flag. Best Dressed Man is retroactively stoked because those two bands break up. Stephen Blush declares hardcore dead because he never heard of Youth Crew, RKL, and hates crossover and NYHC. 15 years from now, Zach will not throw him into a garbage can and regret it for the rest of his life.
You're not wrong again.
Yeah. Straight ahead this year. I'm not going to take anything because I'm sticking to Spotify. But In the Warzone comes out and the tape, right? Clevo, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure this is going to get talked for sure. Okay, let's jump in. Dan, tell people the rules of Super 7 and let everyone know the order that we're picking in.
Yeah, so a Super 7 is a friendly competition to make the best 7 song mixtape / playlist from the year's greatest punk and hardcore songs. You are allowed to take the same band, but you are not allowed to take the same song. So, for example, Ben is first pick. If he picks The Eliminator by Agnostic Front, all the other AF Cause for Alarm songs are up for grabs, but that one is gone. And the order is Ben, me, Zach, Clevo in the Ohio Curse spot coming in last.
Yeah, that's happened a few times in a row now, huh, Clevo?
Yeah, it's all good. It's a good year for music.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
That was so diplomatic.
Honestly, you know that we do talk about like strategy, and some years having the first pick is better than others, but there are so many dartboard records out of this year that it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, if I got number one, I was gonna let Dan have it so he'd get no thanks. We'll see if Ben extends the same courtesy. Ben, what's the best hardcore song of 1986?
Well, this is one of the seven best hardcore songs of 1986, but I'm behaving strategically and I'm picking Youth of Today Stabbed in the Back before someone else might pick it. Someone else named Zach, named Zach or Dan or Clevo
or me.
Yeah. So that bass break, man, probably the best bass break in the history of hardcore music. And then it goes from those hyper fast verses with that what my friend calls the box chord progression. Like if you're playing it on the guitar, it looks like you're making a rectangle. And then you go into that breakdown, and the gratuitous swearing sprinkled throughout the song is really the icing on the cake. And then you have the subject matter, which, you know, it serves as like the whole song, lyrics included, serve as the blueprint for so much of the Youth Crew shit up until present day. And the interesting thing about this song is it was like sort of baked perfectly in an oven over the course of 3 or 4 years, because it starts out as a Young Republican song called Respect for Authority in 1983, which is just the original lineup of Youth of Today with a different singer and different lyrics. I don't know what he's singing, but there's no bass break at all. It's very sloppily played. Then, you know, Youth of Today forms, you get Ray on vocals. They record this for Connecticut Fun, I believe in 85, maybe 86. And so that's, you know, that same original lineup with Darren and what is his name? Darren Pesci and Graham Phillips.
Put some respect on his name.
Hey man, he's the original. And then you have Graham Phillips. Yep. You have Graham Phillips actually playing the bass break, but then it gets re-recorded again for Break Down the Walls. And now at this point, you have Drew Thomas on drums and you have Craig Ahead on bass. And it's like perfection, like chef's kiss. Craig's an exceptional bass player and he's doing those notes justice. And we have the definitive version of the song.
Yeah. Perfect hardcore song, one of my favorites of all time. And that's it. We are brothers, you and me, loyal to the hardcore scene. I thought Sanders and Ghosts of Dude, then something happened to you. You change. Stabbed us all in the fucking back. So good. Yeah, love it. Dan, what do you think?
I mean, do the backups get more perfect? Because, you know, it's not as what you would call like full on Youth Crew backups that like become a little bit more front and center like later on, but they're just the fucking lies.
Yeah.
Right in the back. They're right. Just so perfect.
Yeah. Well, it's 86, right? There's no tropes yet.
Yeah.
Like, it's so young, the style. So like, yeah, it's not like the giant like weighted backups where you're just trying to have two syllables. It's like they're actually, you know, I'm gonna take a song hopefully and it's got the greatest backup.
The thing that is so great about it, though, is that those backups are very clear to hear, where he is just literally a weed whacker motor going like through the thing, and that's what makes it so perfect.
Hell yeah. Clevo, you want to speak on this, or should I shoot it to Dan for his number one?
I mean, this is probably my favorite Youth of Today song, and yeah, definitely at the top of my list. So Ben got a keeper at this one.
Hell yeah, respect. Dan, are you taking no thanks? Or are you turning your back on everything you believe in like you did to Minor Threat on the Straight Edge Super 7?
No, I'm redeeming myself and I'm taking no thanks. You know, it arguably is the greatest hardcore song ever written. Like, it's up there. I mean, I always say it's the best non-Minor Threat Straight Edge song, but I took it over all the Minor Threat Straight Edge songs. So there you have it, you know. You deliberately put your head in a mindless state. Like, that's so wordy, but yet he sings it so awesome coming right out the gate. Intoxicated, you do stupid things. Like, the way he just rides the track, like, on the verses is amazing. But then when you think, like, oh my God, that's like God tier vocals, like, that's so fucking good. Then when it goes to the two different, like, I don't know if we can call them pre-choruses or bridges or whatever, but if drink is what it takes to be accepted, I'd rather stay aware and be rejected, you know, like that second verse-ish thing. And then it goes into the highly beautiful, reverbed out, finally, you understand drinking doesn't make you a man, not me. I know what's smart. And then it goes way further on the reverb with, does it make you feel better when you drink, drink, drink? Now you're laughing and today you're happy. Oh my God. This is perfection. This is the best, arguably the best hardcore song of all time. I mean, it's definitely in the conversation. And as far as I'm concerned. And yeah, I'm so happy to take No Thanks by Uniform Choice.
I love it. I love how long the riff is. You know, so sick, dude. And like, I don't know, riffs are really simple at this point, and that one's like long. Like, hell yeah, dude, just going for it. And the drumming is perfect on this record. It just is blazing fast, going along with the riffing, and then yeah, the singing to match. Like, it's perfect hardcore. This is one of the greatest songs of all time on one of the greatest albums of all time. I'm glad he took it number one. Clevo, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, talking about Stab in the Back first, talking about this song, you know, definitely one of the standout tracks on Scream for Change. Just a great record. And, you know, we talk so much about, you know, Capo and his voice and, like, you know, just how it cuts through everything. But, you know, Dubar has such a distinctive voice on top of, you know, being very lyrical. You know, it's kind of funny to think that, like, when you hear Dubar, you know, that he's like this massive muscle man, like, because the voice doesn't really go with the image of him. Yeah, he's like tuneful, and, you know, he's a little more high pitched, and, you know, he's not gruff, like, his just kind of everything. Well, I mean, we're going to talk about UC so much more tonight, but yeah, I think that you know, Dubar is just like, it's an, his voice is just like an instrument of itself that adds to the band.
I mean, Clevo just like nails what makes him special, because I mean, these are straightforward Straight Edge lyrics to an extent, but they are so poetic. You know, even the choice of just grain for like talking about hard alcohol, and like, you know, as the grain goes in, you start to change. And then later on in that, it's the fight the bitter wind that has bitten you. Like, what a fucking great line. And then the last line, for those are none as blind as those who will not see.
But also, you know, I feel like some Straight Edge songs, or, you know, hardcore songs in general, like, you know, you dumbing, like, just kind of, not to like say dumbing them down, but just like getting directly to the point, like, waiting, do you feel better, does it make you feel good when you drink, 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 drink? But you know, like, just getting right to the point with that, like there's something about, like, when you hear like the song Straight Edge, or you hear like Out of Step, or you know Stab It in the Back, they're all like, they get kind of directly to the point with what they're trying to say. And this also has its lyrical parts, but also has like the right in your face, like, this is what we're singing about, like, make no mistake.
Yeah, Yeah, you're right. He gets very lyrical, but then there's also like the grab you by the collar moment, right? Where he can like suck you right back in.
Yeah. And pleading for like self-reflection through basic sentence structure, you know?
Yeah. And we're going to get into UC a lot more on this, this episode. Ben, you want to speak on this real quick or should I grab my number one?
Yeah. Don't sell the guitar solo short. Great guitar solo. It almost grounds it more in California. Like there's something California about that guitar solo. Like obviously this is band's biggest influence is Minor Threat, but I don't know. You never heard Lyle Preslar play something like that. Yeah. Great pick. Great yeah. song. You can't go wrong. You pretty much can't go wrong with any song on this album. I'm saying that now apprehensively while looking at the track list. No, this album's fucking, it's epic. It's great.
The solo is great. There's another solo I like even more on this record, but hell yeah. Okay. I'm stoked it's here. I'm going to take Eye Against Eye, Bad Brains. This might be the greatest vocal performance in the history of hardcore. Like the way he lays down that verse. And then like, of course, when he goes to the chorus, like, I don't want to go against I, holy shit. And then breakdown out of nowhere. What the fuck? And then again, with his like singing on top, it's just magical, perfect song. It's Bad Brains telling the world, chase us, motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Like they lay down some of the greatest hardcore of all time, hardcore hits. There's a million hardcore bands going, you know, by 84. And then it's like, here they come out, 86. It's like, chase this, fool. You can't.
Are you taking good. Intro into Eye Against Eye?
I can, if you prefer it that way on the playlist. I wasn't trying to get greedy. I wasn't going to steal Dan's gimmick. But, yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Clevo?
You know, you say, you know, how the lyric performance of, you know, the where he sings there, but I love like the how he just stacks the lyrics on in the faster parts. He's like, I got a brass continental with a 300Z, I got a color TV with a video too, I got a rest home in Jamaica. Like he's just like on point. You know, it's one of those things, you know, when HR is on, HR is on.
yeah I mean, it's kind of like the same that we were talking about the uniform choice, right? It's like he can get very like wordy, but then like there's a hook, you know, and there's a lot of, I don't know. I feel like this older hardcore, like they wrote hooks, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Hooks can be missing like as hardcore moves on. You know, we go for just more extreme and not like catchy. Like this shit, it grabs you in. It's like, it's great songwriting. Straight up. Ben, you want to speak on this?
Yeah. Great pick. It's like hardcore. It's like the first hardcore prog rock song. What I mean by that is like a song that is totally hardcore, no question about it, but it has all these complicated parts and tempo changes. And like, you never know what's coming next. It's like an epic, complicated, you know, this was, first recorded in 1980 on the Omega sessions. And that was a tape that circulated around. And like, I'd like to think, this is probably the case that you get, you know, the Minor Threat song In My Eyes the next year, which is probably hardcore's second prog rock song, you know, like, an epic song with a million parts or, you know, six parts or whatever it is because of this. And I think the fact that it was done on Omega sessions first and better than this. I mean, it's really just a production thing. I just prefer the drier production of the Omega tape. That kind of complicates things for me because I think of that as the better version. So I'm not picking this version for 86 because you know how it goes. But then that thing doesn't even really come out until like the 90s. So it's sort of lost in the sauce. But yeah, anyone who denies the greatness of this song, it's like, whoa. Are you sure you like hardcore?
Dan, you want to touch this or should I shoot it to Clevo for his number one?
I mean, the production on this with the who, like those parts, is just, it's otherworldly. And like you say, the chasers thing, like that's interesting. I mean, they're unchaseable because you know, even if they were leaving breadcrumbs, they'd be in such a wacky like way that nobody could follow them, and you'd just go in circles because this is a different, you know, a lot of time people will say in England, like referring to something as like, oh, that's different gravy. Bad Brains have always been different gravy. Like they are literally unfollowable.
You know, 1986, we could probably say that this is the last time the Bad Brains were truly great. And that's not to say they haven't been good since then, but I think that this is like, this is the peak.
Yeah. Some people are going to argue that the Quickness is great.
But is Quickness higher than this?
No, no, no. And to be honest with you, I don't love it, but some people love it. Right. And so like, and I wish I was one of those people that like took the ride that far. But fuck it. I don't even love the side B of my war. So poser alert.
I mean, Quickness is better than side B of my war.
Respect. I respect that. Clevo, number one.
So, you know, this is already getting into that strategy. Do I take a second track off of something that you guys already took? Because you guys all took things from Great Records. But I'm going to make sure I take something before Zach takes it off the board. And I'm going to go with Poison Idea with Lifestyles off of Kings of Punk.
Love it.
I can't remember who it was, but someone said, you know, like everyone reps Record Collectors because of the title, but Kings of Punk is truly the great Poison Idea, or the first great. I don't know. They're all great. But this song fucking starts off this record like a jackhammer. Lyrically, it's kind of, it's just really talking about, you know, just kind of how Jerry and Tom were living. Like those dudes were not living good lives. And, you know, I think part of the thing I love about the song is like, it just kicks in. And like the first lyrics are like, I go full speed and I don't look back. And it just like, this song just kicks in, is just like right in your face. But then it has like all the stops and starts where the riff comes back in, like that riff. And then the breakdown in the middle where it's just like, when he's like the day by day, hand to mouth, and you know, Lifestyles of the Poor and Homeless. And it's just talking about like, I just can't imagine what it was like inside those dudes' houses.
Dude, I've always argued that the beginning of Slayer, Hallowed Point, is like the greatest intro of any like aggressive song ever. And like this is up there. Like the way it kicks on the cymbals, like with like the dynamics, and then straight into Fast. It's kind of like the ugly brother of like the first UC song, right? Like it's kind of the same way, like Use Your Head blast like straight in and you're like, oh shit, like without the singing, like they're kind of making a statement with their fast shit, like this is what we sound like, you know. And this is the same way, except Jerry A, when he hits like that like his yell is so good. I love this song. Like when it kicks on like the verse riff, it's just straight up rocker shit, and this is like apex hardcore punk. This is the best record. You know, you can argue Feel the Darkness, but like this is the best one, you know. You can argue the 7-inch too. Like, I don't know. There's a lot. Their run is like the greatest run, right? 83 to 1990, rivaled only by Madball, 94 to 2000. It's just sick. I love this. I'm glad you took it. I was up in the air on what I was going to take. And when you're up in the air, fuck, pick the first song off the record. You get the vibe of the whole record when you drop that needle. So yeah, respect.
I think legit though, this is, I think this is the song, like from, like, regardless of it's the first one, I know we always take the first songs off of records, but I really think that this is the song.
Yeah. I don't think there's any like risk in Dan or Ben taking a Poison Idea song. So like, I would argue Made to Be Broken is the best song on the record.
And that was the other one that I actually had on my, I had it down to Lifestyles and Made to Be Broken.
So. Yeah, me too. They're the two, and I would be happy either way. So like a lot of the bands on here, I got four Youth of the Day songs, but like Kings of Punk, like I just have two ready to go. And those are the two. But the whole record's great, right? Like, those are the tent poles, but like, they exist in like a sea of awesome. So that's what's up. Ben, let's go to you for number two.
All right. I'm going back to the well, the Wishing Well, that is Wishing Well Records, 1986, Uniform Choice, Screaming for Change, title track, the song Screaming for Change. I this would have been my first round pick, but I knew Dan was going to pick No Thanks, and I just hedged my bets that Zach was not going to pick Screaming for Change or Clevo. So when I got this album, to me, this has always been the standout track. And it's interesting how much you guys ride for No Thanks, which is totally fine. That's a great song too. But like, to me, this has always been the one. This has been their Young Till I Die. And they're always criticized by a lot of people, especially from that first generation, for being like fake Minor Threat. But could this song really be a Minor Threat song? And I think that the gang backups and the sort of hopeful / positive message sets it apart from Minor Threat. Like, I wouldn't hear Ian circa 81, 82, 83 singing lyrics this positive. I can't picture that. And, you know, you got that great bass intro, the snare rolls going into the song. And then you have this really odd arrangement that gives you three separate ways to scream for change. If you think about it, if you have it going on in your head, you know, it's like there's kind of a verse where he's saying screaming for a change. And then there's the, I guess, a chorus, but then there's this other part where he's singing lyrics. And is that the verse? And I'm totally going to pull a Posse Chris and timestamp this shit. If you're not getting goosebumps when Dubar is hanging on the word change while the chords change underneath him going into that whatever other verse part, you're in dire need of a pair of defibrillator paddles for some chest compression action, because your heart is not beating. I feel like this is sort of the swan song for that first generation of straight edge hardcore before, you know, the YOT template takes over, even though there's like an, obviously there's sort of there's an overlap between Uniform Choice and Youth of Today, but it's like the Youth of Today model is what kind of perseveres going forward at this point. So this is sort of like kind of putting a fork in the whole Minor Threat thing. And the other thing is, it's interesting to think, I was just thinking about this today, Uniform Choice, Stag Nasty, and Verbal Assault all put out their debut 12 inches this year. They're all pretty much based on Minor Threat, but none of those three bands sound like each other. So that's kind of interesting.
I would just say that the Youth of Today formula is the Victim in Pain formula. So yeah, but Uniform Choice, like, they're doing fast songs that don't have tempo changes, right? They got a couple. So, and that kind of like goes away. Victim in Pain, like, every song has a tempo change, and like Youth of Today, every song basically has a tempo change, you know?
Well, so, a lot of the songs on this album, a lot of the songs do too. I guess this song.
Yeah, of course, but there's still like a couple, like this one and Where Did We Go Wrong? That one.
Right.
Got that fast blazer. Okay. Dan, we're going to talk UC a bunch, so let's just go to you for your number two.
Okay. Well, we do have to go to another track one, because, you know, it's the same thing that Clevo just said. There could be a few on this one, or there will be a few on this one, but the track one, just the way it starts. Click, click, doo-doo, bam, bam. We're going, We Gotta Know, the Cro-Mags off of Age of Quarrel. The vibe that you get as this song just comes in is you're in trouble. Like, this record is gonna, you know, put you in trouble. It's so fucking, like, vibey and menacing and perfect. And then you've got John Joseph doing his, you know, HR worship homage. that works so well over this, and the backups are perfect. The sound at Normandy Sound is just, I mean, what this kind of hardcore should sound like. Like, they capture it absolutely perfectly. It's just, you know, it's perfection. Like, it's another song. And lyrically, it's, you know, so good too. Like, searching for the truth to keep us alive. Gotta break these shackles. Gotta break these chains. Like, it's urgent. It's like just hoping for something, scrambling for something, scratching and fighting for something. And it just, you know, it's at a time when hardcore was really like underdog, underground people music. And this reflects it so perfectly as a thing. Like, we got to know like what's out there, and we've got to fight for something more. And it just is, it's perfect. I fucking love it. We got to know.
Unfortunately, not the last time that a band rhymed life with strife. You know, it should have been one and done right here. But yeah, this is perfect, right? Like, talk about 86 and like these great all-time hardcore albums that came out this year. This is it. I mean, Cro-Mag's Age of Quarrel, you can't fuck with it, right? Like, this is one of those records where if you like hardcore, you like this record straight up. And I don't know. I just think it's one that is unavoidable to enjoy, you know? Clevo, what do you think about this one?
I mean, we're going to talk about the Cro-Mags more tonight, but I think there's just pre-internet, you know, I don't even want to talk about the Cro-Mags in the 21st century, but I think pre-internet, there's also just such a mystique about this band that, like, you just didn't know, you know? Like you have Harley, who, you know, was in the Stimulators, you know, has a children's book with Allen Ginsberg, you know, just a feral child from the Lower East Side. You have, you know, Navy AWOL, Bad Brains roadie, John Bloodclot singing. You know, you have a member of Kraut, like Mackie with, you know, on the drums, you know, just is like so perfect for this band. And, you know, just like the stories just about all of them, and you see the pictures of them, like the pictures of them showering in a hydrant because they live in a squat. Like this band was everything. Like, I think that this is, I know personally for me, between this and Victim in Pain are probably the two records that mostly were like, yes, I want to be a hardcore kid. I mean, this is just, this record's the total package.
Yeah. And so long, right? Like, it's a long hardcore record. And it's probably the best great long hardcore record. Like, it's long and everything kicks ass. Like, I don't love Seekers of the Truth, but it works live. I get like why it's there. It really does work live. But on the record, I listen to it probably like 1 out of 10 times, you know?
So I think I've said this before on here, but like, I'm not a fast runner, but when I run, like if I'm going to run like a 5K, I listen to Age of Quarrel with Malfunction taken out. Oh, and that takes you right at about 30 minutes. I actually usually, I listen to Age of Quarrel with Malfunction taken out and add Everybody's Gonna Die from the demo.
Sick. Yeah, yeah. I would say I listen to Malfunction 1 out of 4 times, and Seekers like 1 out of 10. But yeah, I mean, this is all time. And also, like, you're right. That's so good that you called out the mystique. But also, I just want to say, like, side note, because people are very judgmental about how, like, some, like, older hardcore dudes are. And, like, we're all pretty, like, left-wing on this pod. But, like, I don't give a fuck if someone, like, thinks different than me or like acts a little crazy. Like, half the appeal of these like old hardcore dudes in the first place was that they were a little crazy, right? So like, I'm not judging people for still like being wild and thinking wild. So I want everyone to like do their own thing. You think that's fair, Dan?
Yeah. I mean, this, underground brutalist music comes from people that have been put through the ringer and come out a little bit touched and messed up. And, you know, we want it that way. We want this art to pull them out of, you know, exactly what they've done. And yeah, if, you know, old man yelling at cloud, literally yelling at planes, putting out clouds, apparently. If that happens later on in life, fuck, when you check in with someone and they're 55, 60, like they usually have turned stupid. Look at Morrissey.
If you look at the, you know, we're talking about the Cro-Mags, talk about Poison Idea. If you read Jerry A's, the three Jerry A's books that should have just been one book. If you read Harley's book, which probably could have been about a third or a half as long because it needed an editor. If you look at John Joseph's book and look at where they came from, like those are the types of people that can make this type of music. Like, right. Like this is real. Reed Rogers, like we're not really going to talk about Agnostic Front too much tonight, probably, but Reed Rogers' book, like all of those guys have very similar, like they didn't come from good childhoods.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Cleavo, watch out. I think you're shuffling some with your hand. Okay, let's see here. I'm on the wrong tab. Oh, Jesus, we're back to me. Okay, just so I get it, since Ben jacked me and took Stabbed in the Back, I'm going to take my second favorite song off Break Down the Walls. I'm going to take a Stand. And this is what I was referring to earlier with one of the greatest hardcore backups of all time, facetiously. I see you hide. Hide, do you have pride? Pride afraid to share. What's inside me? Walked right by. By a real nice guy. Guy, what the fuck? It sounds sick, and then you think about it, you're like, what, a guy backup? Okay. But this is classic old school punk, right? It's just slow, get the people moving a little bit, and then yell something out, and then get buck, you know. And I love it so much. I think when Better Than a Thousand came through on one of those Rev tours, they played the Whiskey, and I went and I staged over the song. And I jumped on stage and then I realized this is a bad idea. Like that stage is a little too high for me to dive off of. It's probably like, I don't know. What do you think, Dan? Chest high?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I'm cool with like, you know, waist high, but anyway, I survived. I don't know if, you know, the two people I landed on did.
But, probably not.
I know it is what it is. I didn't die. So, straight up, or I didn't fucking bitch out and go foot first, you know, like a fucking nerd. But yeah, this is my choice. Ben, how do you think this stacks up against your pick?
My pick's better. But yeah, another album where I don't know if you can go wrong. Like, what's the worst song on Break Down the Walls? I don't fucking know. They're all great.
Isn't Keep It Up on this
one? It's Time to Forgive, because that song's bullshit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. A lyric switch.
Yeah. Like, we just might fucking fight, too. It's Time to Forgive, guys.
Yeah, that's not the best, but whatever. Okay,
hey, morally straight.
That's right. That is correct. Okay, let's go to Clevo for your number two.
So I'm gonna dip my toe back into the uniform choice pool, and I'm gonna take, of course, the first song off the record. But I'm gonna take Use Your Head. I was listening to this quite a bit in the past, you know, couple days. Like, not that I don't usually listen to it, but like I was listening to it quite a bit to kind of figure out, like, well, Dan's gonna take No Thanks, you know, what do I want to get in with? But like, when you listen to Use Your Head, the way the song is set up is it's so good, because like you have the hangs on the beginning, but they're not just like hangs with like cymbal chokes. Listen to the drums on that, because he's just playing fills all over those hangs where the drums are just going crazy. I don't think I really noticed how much the drums stand out on that before. But also, the riff is so good, because like the first riff goes, what is it? The first riff goes down like tonally, and then and it's all fast. So it's like the verse riff goes down tonally, and then basically the chorus riff is kind of the same riff backwards. going fast. So it's like, you know, it's a dun 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 dun. And then just like the skank part, it's not even really a mosh part. It's a little too fast. You know, it's like California Circle Pit part just in the middle. Yeah, I fucking love this song. And what a way to start off a record.
Yeah, like that, the drummer Fleming, like on that beginning, like it's so wild. Like it's almost falling apart, but it's like, it's the best. It's the best way to start a record. Oh God. It's like the first 20 seconds are so gnarly. I love it so much. Yeah. Great pick. All right. Let's go to Ben for his number three.
Yeah. For my number three, I think I'm going to have to step away from Wishing Well Records for the first time on this program and pick Dag Nasty with their song Justification off of the Can I Say LP. That's was released on Discord Records. And this is definitely their most hardcore sounding song on this album. And I feel like it's sort of a defense of hardcore music in general when so many bands around 84, 85, 86 were going off in different directions musically. Like, you know, I think a band like Dag Nasty the year before would have gotten that sort of attitude like, oh, you still play hardcore? Pfft. And Dag Nasty responds, "You say we're walking backwards. Well, that dead horse sure can run. It sure can run," which is sort of like, you know, you're still trapped in, you know, hardcore world, but, you know, we're still doing this as good as it can be possibly be done. And there's value in that. I also love the lyric. "I said, I'm trying my hardest, but he didn't like the tape." And whenever the music I make is rejected by, you know, a label or a promoter or whoever, I think about even the great Dag Nasty having this feeling of rejection. And the backstory was the Dag Nasty demo was given to the band Marginal Man or someone in Marginal Man, and they sort of dissed them. And I'm sorry, but like Dag Nasty's the better band between those two. So it's kind of funny in retrospect.
Oh, I was on mute. Yeah, I agree 100%. Here's something that I think is funny. So singer of this band has always been kind of a vocal, like, "What's up? I'm a punk rock Republican." And it's pretty hilarious that like his current band is called Don't Sleep, right?
Yep.
Ben, that's correct, right?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah. So how sick is it that his current band is basically like it's like the definition of woke. Like, hell yeah, dude. You burned yourself.
Oh, because Don't Sleep equals woke. Yeah. I think this is before all those politics got into his head, I'm pretty sure. Actually, I don't know. But he didn't express them in this band, at least.
Yeah, this record is great. All time. It's like as good as melodic hardcore can get. You know, it's near perfect, you know? Clevo, what do you think about this?
This would be the song that I would take off of this record. I'm totally like pulling a brain fart here, but these are all Sean's lyrics, right?
I'm not sure, but they are definitely not Dave Smalley's lyrics because this song was recorded originally with the Sean Brown lineup. That's not to say.
Yeah. Sean so like these. So these lyrics predate Dave even, you know, like whatever they thought about, you know, they obviously thought something about Sean, which is kind of funny that, you know, maybe they weren't as, I personally like Sean as a vocalist, but maybe, you know, they did make the switch midstream and added Dave and then, you know, maybe they didn't like the tape either.
Huh.
Dan, you want to speak on this or you want to take your number three?
I'll just slide on into number three if that's all right.
Please do.
Well, you know, sometimes one is not enough. And I'm going Hard Times, Cro-Mags, Age of Quarrel. I mean, hard times coming your way. Like the way this, and then it comes back in. Fucking hell. This song is incredible. I think we flipped this back into our choice as the Cro-Mags representative for the best songs of the 80s a few weeks ago, right?
I don't think so. I think it got switched.
I think I changed it.
Yeah, I think it stayed as the
limit. Changed it to It's the Limit, didn't he?
Yeah.
Madness.
I changed
it. Absolute madness.
Classic song. And like that straight, it's the Victim in Pain formula, right? It's like Cro-Mags doing like that formula. Verse, chorus, breakdown.
Yeah.
We should probably stop talking about that song.
It's going to come up. I know. It's like this 86, dude. We're all taking the same band's different songs straight up.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get better than this. Like, this is hardcore. Like, this, put it in a test tube, send it off to Mars. They open that test tube, pour it out, get punched in the face, and they realize hard times coming their way. Sorry, Marvin the Martian.
Yeah, it's sick because, you know, a big part of hardcore is starts and stops. And like here you have perfect examples of it, right? So yeah, so good. And this is one of the all-time mid-tempo bangers. We might have to do a Super 7 at some point, all mid-tempo bangers, because that would be ill, you know? And here is one of them. So yeah, okay. My number three, Jesus Christ, what do I do? Man. Yeah, this is hard. I will take... Dude, I'm taking Slapshot back on the map. I love this song. I love how it kicks out of nowhere, you know? And then the sentiment of the song, putting Boston back on the map. Like, this resonated with me big time. When I did In Control in 99, like, we had one mission, and that was to put Nardcore back on the map, you know? And, like, we waved that flag high. And, like, I mean, I'd be lying if I said this wasn't, like, direct inspiration for like a band like waving the flag that hard, right? Like, here we are back on the map, dude. So yeah, Clevo, I hope I didn't jack you too hard, and I hope that they don't take you off like subsequent releases of or presses of Tenure Fight.
I mean, this was definitely gonna be my next pick.
Yeah, dude, it's so sick how it just goes like mid-tempo out of nowhere, right? Like, there's no like drum fill, there's no build up or anything. It's like, oh shit, we're in.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just something about like the way Mark drums. You know, he uses like the smallest kit ever. It's like basically a tom, a snare, a kick.
Yeah.
And, you know, when LaCroix and Ben filled in for Slapshot, so it was basically Choke and Mark with LaCroix and Ben on bass and guitar. And Mark used to come over to our house to practice, and he would play, and then like I wasn't in the room and it sounded like a full band, and I went in and poked my head in, and Mark was singing and playing drums at the same time, and he kind of sounds like Choke when he sings too.
Sick.
And just like, but yeah, like watching him play these, because he's very minimalistic, but the songs, I feel like he's really like, he really drives these songs.
Yeah, I mean, he's the drummer, right? He's the beat, he's driving it. Yeah, I love it. Dan, you want to speak on this at all?
Absolutely. This is basically the formula, especially on this song, but more so like just overall for the LP, is like, this is Oi and SSD in a blender, really, you know? Like, the way Choke sounds is like reminiscent of Springer to an extent, but as someone who has listened to Oi music just as much as hardcore. This is such a good song. The way it just has that vibey like beginning, and the and like you say, it just launches off into just like mid-temponess, but then it explodes, and it's just angry and basic. It's it is basic in the best possible way. It's getting the point across, and it is so catchy and so great and one for the ages.
Ben, you want to say anything on this, or should I shoot it to Clevo for his number three?
It's interesting. The sing-along is in threes, and usually most everything in Western music is in fours. It's like back on the map, back on the map. That's kind of interesting.
Also, when it goes, when it repeats back on the map, it like jumps. It's like, it's not just like back on the map, back on the map. It jumps that second one, back on the map, back. It's like jumps. It's so sick.
Yeah. It's something interesting in there. The third best choke band, Last Rites, Negative Effects, Slapshot, Stars and Stripes. That's my order. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Slapshot's better than Negative Effects, in my opinion. But yeah, Slapshot's the best out of all of them. I mean, if you're talking about like a catalog,
well,
it's the best, right? Like
way more music, of course.
Quantity versus quality.
Well, but the first two records like have so many smashes on them, you know, like Last Rites doesn't have a whole ton of songs, but they're like batting 1,000.
Yeah, I never heard Last Rites do a Straight Edge Cadence that made me march down the street.
But Last Rites didn't release Unconsciousness.
That's fair. But like, what if we just limit it to the 80s, right?
Yeah.
You know, anyway. Okay, Clevo, number three.
So let's just stay in Boston then, and I'm going to take Gangrene, and I'm going to take Another Wasted Night.
Love it.
You know, it was between this and Alcohol, but Another Wasted Night. You know, we talked about solos before. This song just kicks in. Like, this is a punk rock hardcore song with the emphasis on rock. And I think that's really what Gangrene did the best. And you know, the song, you know, really just talking about, you know, Boston, he's become a disgrace to this town, which, you know, prophecy preceded itself. yeah. It's funny because, you know, these guys won like the local radio battle of the bands to win like studio time. Like it's like the most 80s, like, rock band like thing you could do. But I do really, Gangrene, I feel like, is so hit or miss. I think they miss more than they hit. I mean, I'm really trying to get kicked out of Boston. I'm moving anyways. It doesn't matter. But like this and Alcohol are really the two songs that stand out. This and Have Fun. There's a couple of rippers on this, and then the rest of it is just like, it is whatever. So, but I do love the song. You know, another song that's tuneful, you know, has a little more singing and isn't really gruff or anything like that. But yeah. And again, another kicking off side A song.
Yeah. I love when it goes fast, when he goes like, will this misery ever end? Kicks fast right there.
And then, but I like the, after the first verse, when it's like, do you even know how you fucking get bum bum.
Yeah. This song is great. But you're right. The record is hit and miss. I love those demos. I didn't hear them until like maybe like 8 or 9 years ago. So like I never had them, you know, when I was a teenager or even in my 20s. Those things are just wild and out of control. Like, what is it called? Preschool? Like that CD?
So that's like the 7-inch and like all the comp track stuff.
Okay. Yeah, that shit is so good. But yeah, I love this track. Great choice. Ben, let's go to you for your number four.
All right. Obligatory Cro-Mags pick. I'm going to go Street Justice. The interesting thing about this is it's part of the Street Rock Block on Age of Quarrel, where they play two songs in a row with the word street in it that are fast the whole way through. No breakdowns. For a band that's known for combining metal with Bad Brain style hardcore, they kind of show the world that they're also the masters of like breakdown free hardcore. And I love that overpower, overcome. That part's so ill. I just imagine like someone swinging a chain when I listen to this song. And more often than not, I start the album on track five, Street Justice, because I just need a dose of that Street Justice for you and me. Now, here's a question for all of you. Is Age of Quarrel a crossover record? And if so, is it the greatest crossover record ever recorded?
I'll go first. It is not a crossover record. It's a hardcore record. It's like, I don't know, where's the metal part? Like, it has a little bit of like tightness to it, which I guess at the time you would think is metal and the production, I guess. But like, there's no speed picking, right?
So I would say, I think that Age of Quarrel is a mix of Bad Brains, Discharge, and Motorhead.
I think it's Discharge is already Motorhead influenced, but I get what you're saying, and I agree. Yes,
right. So if you mixed Bad Brains up to this point pre-86 and Discharge, like the early shit, right? There's no metal in there, so it's not crossover.
Well, I guess it just comes down to, is Motorhead a metal band? And also, is Seekers of the Truth kind of influenced by heavy metal? I mean, I think I hear it.
Sure. So you want to take Seekers of the Truth? Fine. But it's like, it's kind of like the outlier song on the record, right? You know?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's like, it's not the backbone of what this record is, you know? And Motorhead, like, they get lumped in metal, I guess, but like they're just a rock and roll band, dude.
Yeah, they're their own thing.
How can this be crossover when it is the fucking absolute formula of what hardcore is?
Well, I think it's sort of like this
and Victim and Pain.
Well, I think it when people use Age of Quarrel as a starting point for like, this is what hardcore is. Now I'm going to mix this with metal. It's like, whoa, you're already kind of dipping your toe into metal in the first place using this as a starting point. So then you end up getting, you know, really metallic shit, you know, 5-10 years later.
But I think that's the turning point, because I think that bands like Integrity are using Cro-Mags and Judge, and you know, Dwid might want to say it was like Mighty Sphincter and Septic Death on top of that, but it's really like you know, Integrity, early Integrity is really like Cro-Mags and Judge. It's like
Cro-Mags, Judge, Killing Time. Like that's modern hardcore.
Yeah,
that's like the birth of modern hardcore. Like those three records with like those modern ass recordings. Like that's like the blueprint for where it would go, you know. Like you've lost the wildness of like the old hardcore sound, and I'm not mad at it. Like those are three of my favorite records of all time, but they're different and they're modern.
Well, also, I mean, you're saying this is Discharge and Bad Brains, but it can't help but be, you know, in the same world as Victim and Pain as well.
Totally,
this record as well.
Absolutely, the breakdowns. Well, I mean, I guess Bad Brains introduced the breakdowns even before Agnostic Front. So yeah, it's a stew for sure. You can see where this all came from. Well, whatever they're doing, it's great and we all love it. Except maybe Clevo. He hasn't picked one of their songs yet.
I haven't yet either, but I'm gonna.
Oh, that's right. And Dan pulled a Dan and picked two Cro-Mags songs.
Clevo has to take It's a Limit because he switched out Hard Times on the fucking best 100 songs of the 80s. So, okay.
Watch me get silly.
Oh, I know. It can happen. Dan, what song are you taking as your number four?
Okay. I am going to go with, while this is still here, there's so much that I want to do, but I have to do this because the song itself is just so, so, so good. So I'm going New Wind, 7 Seconds.
Fuck.
I think this song is incredible lyrically, sound, vocally, and just songwriting. And the positivity of it is amazing. It's just such a fantastic song. And I think Kevin's voice sounds the best. It, you know, obviously like Young Till I Die, etc., is just incredible, but I really love the way his vocals sound in this, in this, you know, next generation of 7 Seconds. They don't get better than the way he sounds on this song. I think it's an incredible song, and it carries on with what they had laid out lyrically. And I just think it's one for the ages. It's just an amazing, amazing song. And I really, you know, love the way he goes, "Have you ever listened to a word I've said?" Like, you know, like, "I've been saying this for like 3 years now. We can do something if we all stick together," you know, like, and it's that kind of like wide-eyed optimism that is in positive hardcore that I just am buying into. I'm hoping for better things, and hardcore has shown me that, you know, we can at least make changes in our own lives to have better existences. If we can't transform society, at least we can do it within our community. And I mean, we could be the new wing, you know, we could always be the new wind. Like, don't get jaded and just strive for something better. And that's what 7 Seconds does for me. And I love it.
This is a great song. I never loved the production on this record. I don't know. I should listen to it again. I had it on tape way back. Never loved it outside of this song. So I will go back to it. Maybe Ben will take another track off this record and I can go past the title track. I don't know. Ben, what do you think? You said an expletive when Dan took it, so I assume you wanted this.
I did. This was on my list of songs I was going to pick from. I should have picked this instead of Cro-Mags and then gone back to Cro-Mags. Fuck. Anyway, yeah, this is like the last batch of God tier 7 Seconds songs. This is from the 85 session produced by Imakai at Don Zientara's. So it's like got the Discord production, and then it gets tacked on to a bunch of songs they recorded a year later that are notably less ferocious sounding. I'm trying to be nice here because I already called them wimpy once. Yeah, this is incredible. Also, notice how at the end you hear someone go, "Wow." It's like, "Wow, dun, 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 dun." And then it goes into, "We're going to fight," and then it fades out. It's like, wow, they decided they wanted to have that be on the record. And that's the definitive version of them going into another song of theirs that they had already recorded and then fade out. Like, when you're in a recording studio, will that ever cross your mind? Any of us? Like, let's do a song we already did and then fade out on that. Like, I got to keep that in my back pocket. Maybe that would be an interesting little trick to pull.
Or even better yet, you go into a song that your older brother did that was a cover, and then do that and make it sound even more God tier.
That's right. That's the greatest example. But yeah, this is good. And Ben, they recorded "We're Gonna Fight" twice. It's on the 7-inch and the LP.
Yep.
So, and then here at the beginning, right? But yeah, Dan talking about Crucified, the end of the Madball song. That's what it's all about. Okay. Clevo, you want to touch this or should I take my number four?
I mean, this was definitely on my list. I think this record gets some grief for being melodic. It's not quite to "They're Trying to Be REM," which I don't think that anyone's who ever said that has actually heard REM. But
for real.
Yeah, this really is like, this is like the last great 7 Seconds record.
I am going to take, God, something's going to get left off and it hurts. I'm going to take "Poison Idea Made to Be Broken" just to get it on there. That opening like melodic riff is so good. It's like one of those things that the first time you heard it, you feel like you've heard it forever. You know, and then kicks punk, and then good God, man. And also, this might be the most sincere "fuck you" on any punk song. It's so
melodic.
Good. I know. It's like, it's so melodic time. And he just goes, fuck you. It's like, hey, what did I do, bro? But yeah, it's sick. This is a perfect hardcore song, hardcore punk song. And yeah, need it on my list. Clevo, you said it was this one or the one you took, Lifestyles. How you feel about this one?
I mean, it's like 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I think Lifestyles is probably in my top handful of Poison Idea songs. And Made to Be Broken is a great song, but it's probably like, you know, just below that.
Go ahead and take your number four.
I am going to go with, I got to go back to Wishing Well Records. I'm going to take Blast with Surf and Destroy.
Yeah.
You know, this is really, it's a ripper. It's short. I don't know if it's necessarily as blast flag as blast can get. You know, like the song, like It's Alive, like sounds like Black Flag Jr. I think there's still like those Black Flag elements here, but you know, it's a ripper. It's short, you know, Let the World End, but not before I go out and shred. And you know, you just think of this, when you hear this song, you just visualize Rob Roskopf jumping over the band playing.
I love it. I love it. Watch people surf instead of the news. Hell yeah. So sick, dude. I love this record. I'm going to take something off it, I hope, if I don't run out of shit. Maybe Ben will too. We'll see. Ben, you want to speak on this or you want to take your number five?
Yeah, it seems like there are more songs about skateboarding in punk rock than there are songs about surfing, but maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know. Someone should do a definitive count. But yeah, this song is great. I'm not a surfer, but it doesn't matter. This was remastered years later or remixed as the Expression of Power. See what they did there? And on Spotify, the original version is connected to the song before it, Time to Think. So it's like, oh, that's annoying. What if I want the original version and I only want to hear Surf and Destroy? But man, you could really do an entire 7-song playlist of stuff on Wishing Well Records from this year. Maybe. I don't know. I'd have to look at their catalog.
Of course you could, because you could just take side A of the UC LP. You know, without question.
Without repeating bands like someone always does.
Yeah. Anyway, number five.
My number five, I am going to pick Still Believe by 7 Seconds. That this is the second best song on the New Wind LP. I still believe in these words too. It's got a breakdown too, man. By 86, everyone's doing breakdowns. I don't know. It's like, these are definitely by far the two standout songs on this album.
100%. I was hoping you'd go deeper. These are the two that I know and love.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, isn't it that obvious though? Like, they're the Ragers, and I think they did them both when I saw them last year with Circle Jerks. They definitely did New Wind because I almost died in the circle pit because I was the only one wearing a mask and I couldn't breathe.
Dan, you want to speak on this, or you want to take your number five?
I mean, this is a great song, but I got the winner off this LP. So I just want to clarify something before I move on. I took the 12-inch single version of Bonzo Goes to Bitburg on the 85 thing. So that means it was already kind of claimed. So the Animal Boy version won't count, right?
Yeah, it shouldn't, because you took it. And it's funny because that song was like the only one out there where I was like, okay, there's only one song off this record that I want, you know?
Crummy Stuff's pretty good, but yeah, it's not good enough to get in the top 7.
Right. Yeah. So got claimed for 85, so let's skip it.
Okay. Well, I am going to go. I mean, the two songs that I was initially going to go for on Break Down the Walls have been taken. But you know what? I just roll with the punches because I have a positive outlook.
Yeah.
I'm going positive outlook from Break Down the Walls. I mean, can we, I mean, this is what this is what it's all about. Like, I mean, I know I'm taking a lot of Pozzy songs right now, which I'm very happy to do, but this is one of those ones that really defines what Youth of Today is all about in the classic sense of the band. Not in millions of like comebacks and things like that. This like first era Youth of Today, the things that they were bringing to the table, lyrically, extremely different from all the stuff around them. And, you know, just incredible. Like, gotta maintain, you know, its outlook on life is positive. So, you know, why would I try and hide that? Why am I trying to conceal that? Like, that's so sick. It's so easy to take for granted, like, that's what Youth of Today is all about. And, you know, that's what Youth Crew Hardcore is and things like that. And look back and just know it's like that. And sometimes, you know, people will think that's cheesy and whatever, especially in this day and age where everyone wants to be hard. It fucking takes strength to be gentle and kind. You know, this is a really different way of thinking for such aggressive music. And I think that is awesome. Positive outlook, Youth of Today off Break Down the Walls. This song fucking rips.
It's so good, dude. You know, it's like the vibe of Victim in Pain, like the music, and then like the lyrical output of 7 Seconds, like mashed up to pure hardcore perfection. Love it. It's great. And we have talked to you today a bunch. We got to see if Clevo's going to take one for the clean sweep. I'm going to take my number 5. You know, generally on this podcast, I don't take emo songs like, you know, Dan and Ben take Fugazi all the time. But I'm going to take the greatest emo song of all time. And that's Once I Cry by Uniform Choice. This fucking track, dude. Like, I don't know. What the fuck is emo? Like, it can kick ass too, right? Like, a lot of Rites of Spring kicks ass. Like, this is a very emotional song, but like, good God, the tempo that they hit on this is so perfect, so in the pocket for the mid-tempo banger. And yeah, it's great. That gang vocal coming in, once I cry, a rain begins, the flow or the verse, out of this world. And again, great lead on this song too. Like, the leads on this album are so tasteful, so good. And yeah, you guys chose Rippers, so I took the emo song on the record. So how about that? Dan, what do you think about this one?
I mean, it is awesome open-hearted song, but if you really wanted to go emo off Screaming for Change, why didn't you go for Silenced?
Is that the poem?
That real emotional poem.
Yeah. It'll probably close out the episode, so we'll see.
Excellent.
Hell yeah. Okay. Ben, excuse me, Clevo, let's go to you for your number 5.
I'm just going to take the Youth of Today song now.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to take Thinking Straight.
Yes.
You know, this is like the most like song structure, verse, chorus, you know, breakdown. I feel like this is the song, but it's just like, it's kind of a perfect song. Like when you just like kind of think of it by itself. Norm redoing Antimatter posted a interview with Porcel recently. And, you know, one of the things, because, you know, we always talk about the other guys that were in the band pre this record. But it's like when Youth Today first started, we had Graham and Pesky in the band and they weren't that idealistic. Our whole idea was to put together our idealism and our music and put together a band that we could rally behind. Our favorite bands always had messages: 7 Seconds, Minor Threat, and Youth Brigade. We wanted to inspire people with music, and these other guys didn't have the same vision. we were willing to drop everything to do the band. And that's really what I think that, like, that is like what you get with Youth of Today. And I think that that's why they still resonate with so many people, is those two guys, you know, when they finally found the people who they gelled with the best, and, you know, whether it's this lineup or it's the next lineup, like, they had this vision that we were going to do this thing. And they really, it sounds so corny, but they really did change the world with what they did. And I think that this song might not be as cool as Stabbed in the Back. You know, it might not be as, you know, might not jump out as much as like Break Down the Walls or Take a Stand. But this is kind of everything that Youth of Today was. It's like, this is our message. We're going to wear it on the sleeve and we're going to put it right in your face.
I love it. Yes. What a track, dude. What a track. And we all got it, right? This is a four banger. We all took a YOT song. I love it. I love it.
And we all took a UC song.
That's right. That's two. We'll see. We got two more rounds. Cro-Mags might get it too. Ben, you want to speak on this or you want to take your number six?
Can't go wrong with anything off Break Down the Walls. This cassette really impacted my life profoundly. And yeah, it is corny to, you can think of it as corny, but it's just the way it goes. I mean, I got this album and I read the lyric sheet to my friend over the phone. And I said, I wrote lyrics for our band that we're trying to start. And I didn't tell him, I'm just reading off Youth of Today lyrics. And he said, what are you, a Boy Scout? He just couldn't comprehend that these would be punk lyrics. So it's kind of cool that they actually were, and the band's really good. For my number six, I'm going to pick what I was afraid Zach was going to pick when he said he was going to pick an emo song, Egg Hunt, We All Fall Down, off of the Me and You Egg Hunt 7-inch from Discord Records. This is a project band with Ian MacKay and Jeff Nelson of Minor Threat. I think Ian plays bass, guitar, and sings. Jeff plays drums. They only recorded, I think they recorded four songs and two have never surfaced. But there's two that are on this single, We All Fall Down. It's funny, like, just like Zach, I hated Fugazi when I was in junior high.
Have I ever said that I hate Fugazi? Never. It's just, they're not a hardcore band. That's it. That's all I've ever said. Fugazi, perfectly fine band. Anyway,
okay, go back. Well, I didn't like Fugazi. I didn't like Fugazi.
Okay, you're the one that didn't like Fugazi. So you wear it. You don't have to put it on me.
Okay, I thought you didn't like Fugazi. I'm sorry. Statement rescinded. So I didn't like Fugazi a long time ago when I was in junior high, and I was listening to KXLU, which is a Loyola Marymount University, you know, college radio station that plays all whatever punk music, alternative, and they played We All Fall Down, and I thought, oh, fuck. This song is incredible. I guess I like Fugazi. And I was like bummed at myself. And then they were like, that was Egg Hunt. And I was so happy again. I was like, I can still say I don't like Fugazi because this isn't Fugazi. Woo! Ooh, close one. And then by the time I was a senior in high school, I liked Fugazi as well. But this song is just like, it's just one of the catchiest songs ever written, in my opinion. In search of a quiet life, we all fall down. If you know the song, it's playing in your head right now. One of the best.
Dude, I've legit never heard this in my life. Because the combination of this band name and that album cover, I was like, nope. So I will listen to it for the first time ever on the playlist. Everyone. 185milesSouth.com. Click that playlist link at the top of the page, and there is a playlist for every episode. I will listen to Egg Hunt for the first time, and you all can jam out to this playlist. Dan, what do you think about this one?
You're so stoked to listen to Egg Hunt because it's really great. It's really great, and this song is really, really great.
Hell yeah. Clevo, you want to speak on this or should I shoot it to Dan for his number six?
I just want to say I was today years old when I found out that KXLU is Loyola Marymount's radio station.
That's sick. Okay, Dan, number six.
Okay. God, there's too much good stuff. It's like AM, PM up in this motherfucker. Very difficult because I'm trying to see if I want. No, Zach took it. I wanted Eye Against Eye, but then I, you know, was just revisiting the Bad Brains record to see if there's anything that can touch some of these other things, and there's not. So I'm going World Peace by the Cro-Mags. The song is incredible. I mean, we don't need to get in any further. Most people know like what I've talked about on the other things, but World Peace can't be done. It just can't exist. Like, it says it all. There's a fucking atomic bomb blast on the cover of the record. Like, this is telling you everything, and it is the soundtrack to go with it. It's perfect. Fucking perfect hardcore. Like, this is up there for the best hardcore LP of all time. So, you know, 1986 has so many bangers. Now I'm going to have to synthesize what I want to get on there for number 7 because I've just gone fucking Age of Quarrel wild. But all these songs were still there. I can't take them.
Yeah, this is in the running for the greatest hardcore LP of all time. And this song is in the running for the greatest hardcore song of all time. It's so good, you know? Because, like, when you're narrowing down, like, the best song from a band or, like, the best song in general of whatever criteria you're doing, I generally want to have a fast song, right? I like fast music. It's, like, kind of what kicked off this whole hardcore thing. So it, like, keeps things roots. And, yeah, this is great. Dan, and I'll bring it right in. I'll take my Cro-Mags pick. I'm taking Show You No Mercy. Going against what I just said, this is mid-tone but banger, but like the chord progression is like slightly melodic, but it's not melodic, and the lyrics are just out of this world, you know? And the way John Joseph dances over this on the verse, like this is one of his greatest vocal performances for sure. And this is a song that I always come back to. Like, you know, we've been listening to this record for decades now, you know? And like anything, you go through burnout, you know? And so like, there's been times in my life where I've like played this album to death. And like the song that I always like, the song that always draws me back in is this, right? It's like, it's so punk and so hardcore and so just next level all at the same time. And the production and everything is like, goddamn. And so catchy, dude. Again, like I was talking earlier, like with like these old songs, like having hooks. Right? Like, this is a fucking chorus, dude. Ah, show you no mercy. I'm going to kick you. Kick you away, moving out your way. Ah, show you no mercy at all. It's like fucking A, dude. So good. So good. So, yeah, stoked I had it. That's that. Clevo, number 6.
We're just going to stay on the record. I'm going to take It to the Limit now. You know, this is the song that starts off side two, and, you know, it just starts in where the drums fade in, you know, like Mackie's just playing like a freight train on this, like when the drums come in, and then it has the hangs, and, you know, that riff, that why are you messing around with me, pushing you away, just like, it just kicks in so good. So if you've never seen it before, there's a terrible movie from the 80s called The Beat. And for some reason, in the middle of the movie, they go to see the Cro-Mags. Oh, they go to see the Iron Skulls, who are played by the Cro-Mags. And they play two songs. They play this, and they play Hard Times. But when it kicks into the breakdown, if you watch the video, and it's on YouTube, also, if you find a VHS tape, I guarantee it is queued up to the end of the Iron Skulls set, because I don't know anyone that's watched the movie after that. And I can attest that my tape is there right now. But if you watch the video from the right of the stage, Richie Birkenhead gets on the stage. They're playing at the Ritz. He runs from the left. He does a Arsenio fist pump mosh move. And then he does the, my head hurts and my hands are on fire, like move with his hands around his head, and does an amazing stage dive. And that's all the, that's really all the endorsement you need for how great this song is.
Hell yeah. I love it. Yeah. The fade in, like, dude, sequencing on an LP is so crucial. Right. And to do like that fade in on the drums, like to start off side B, perfect sequencing on a record. It's like they were thinking about like what track is going to start side B, right? They're not just like slopping out a bunch of songs, like, oh, whatever order, don't matter.
Bringing It Down does that too, because Bringing It Down, when you listen to it on the CD, because it fades from the storm into whatever the song is on side, but the drums, like that fade in at the beginning of side two.
So good, dude. And probably inspired by this, right?
I would 100%. Oh, also, if you watch the beat right after the Cro-Mag set, Porcel is sitting outside of the Ritz on the street in a Youth of Today shirt.
So sick. So sick. Respect to anyone wearing their own band's shirt. If you don't ride for your band, why should I ride for your band? What the fuck? Okay. We're going into the heartbreak round. Ben, number seven.
I just like to point out that It's the Limit and Don't Tread on Me are almost the same song, but it doesn't matter. They're both great. It totally works.
Yeah, I'm gonna, World Peace too. All three are pretty similar.
Yeah, it's like, why make one amazing song when you can turn it into three? I'm going to go with, I hate doing this because this is a song that isn't on Spotify, but I got to be true to myself. And one day I believe it will be on Spotify. Verbal Assault, Backstab. This is on Positive Force Records. This was recorded at Don Zientara's in Washington, D.C., produced by Ian MacKay and put out by Kevin Seconds. So that gives you an idea, if you've never heard this record before, of what it kind of sounds like. Very Minor Threat, throw in a little 7 seconds, melodic backup vocals in there, and that's pretty close to what it is. Every fucking time I turn my back, I seem to have come under your wood attack. Whoa. And so you have like Youth of Today singing about breaking down the walls. I'm sorry, Youth of Today singing about being stabbed in the back, and you have Verbal Assault singing about the same thing. And these were like guys who used to carpool to shows together because they were from neighboring states before they sort of, I guess, maybe sort of went in their separate directions. This is like one of the, like, a lot of people think of Trial as like the definitive Verbal Assault record. And I agree with that. But man, this is a good one too. It doesn't get a lot of shine, probably because it's not on streaming and it hasn't been reissued like ever. But it's awesome. The record cover is awesome too. It's like black, white, and red. It's just like 80s hardcore, like the way you want it to be. Zach, you're a huge Verbal Assault Trial fan. What do you think of this record?
I take the whole ride. This is good. It's like slow, fast beat hardcore, like this song. I like it. I like everything. It's just Trial is so like dynamic, and it kind of like, it's one of those records where nothing ever sounded close to it, like before that or ever again after it, including them. You know what I mean? Like kind of how this is going to hurt your brain, but like comparing Verbal Assault to Hatebreed, but it's like Hatebreed, that first LP, like nothing's like it. Right. And like, they could never recreate it again. And like the same with the Cro-Mags right here, right? Like they never get close to Age of Quarrel again. Like Best Wishes is totally different. You know, I don't love that record at all. I don't even like it. You know, like I'm not ashamed to say, like Cro-Mags, I like one record straight up. Although that Harley record called Cro-Mag, that's a good ass record. It sounds like he just locked himself in a basement for a year and like only listened to Motorhead. So sick.
That's definitely a Motorhead Discharge record.
That's right. Yeah, that record kicks ass. Like it's straight up an underrated. It's the second best thing he ever wrote, you know? And like no one's ever gonna know. It just like went under the radar. But back to Verbal Assault, this kicks ass, Ben, straight up. Like I like Learn. I like the whole record. So I like every single Verbal Assault thing. I even like Exit. You know what I mean? So it is what it is.
Hell yeah.
Anything else you want to say on Verbal Assault?
I saw them, I guess it was either late last year or early this year, and they did not play any songs off Learn. And I thought, come on, man, that record's good. At least throw me a bone and play fucking one song off that shit. But they were very good.
Play one, right?
Because
they don't seem like a band that's coming out and only playing 20 minutes.
No, they played for a long time, yeah, and they did a lot of songs, yeah.
They also don't point. Play anything fast.
Ah.
Maybe that's well, there you it. Go.
Maybe it's that. They also canceled their San Diego show, which is a total buzzkill. So, bummer. Verbal Assault, if you come back, hit San Diego again. You played at Garage back in the day in Chula Vista, I believe. So, but I wasn't around. I'm a new Jack. Okay, Dan, let's go to you for your number seven heartbreak round.
Okay, so when I look at what I've got on my little list, you know, I've got quite a few things like written down, and you know, I've got Chip on My Shoulder, Slapshot, fucking incredible song, The Eliminator, Agnostic Front. Maybe a little bit long, that song, but it's so good. Actually, quite a few things off that AF thing like have come back into my purview of enjoyment, where at one point I really loved it and then kind of didn't like that LP for quite a bit of time and then started liking it again, you know, just some time away. But, I mean... Are any of those songs better than My Own Mind by Uniform Choice? And they're not. So I'm dipping back in and I'm going My Own Mind by Uniform Choice. My eyes see the lies which cause your pain. You know, so good. I'm sorry that I did this. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everyone listening. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you. This song is just absolutely incredible, and it was still out there. And if we're picking the best seven songs of 86, I'm not going to just take another band just to have variety when there is, you know, these, and we don't, you know, we overuse this term from time to time, but God tier hardcore songs are out there. I'm grabbing them. I'm grabbing them while I can.
I'm tired of taking the fucking blame. God, that part.
Yes. Like,
that riff that comes in after that is just so, so good.
Absolutely.
The other thing that's so sick on the breakdown is the drummer is doing closed hi-hat when like the guitar is strumming, and then the guitar goes to palm muting and then he opens the hi-hat.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of the opposite. Usually like bands, you're doing palm muting with closed hi-hat, and then you're open strumming with open hi-hat.
Yeah.
And like they go the opposite way, and it is so sick.
And it gives it so much like life.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. So good.
I love it. I'm so glad this got on here. I was down from Once I Cry in this. Like, I like this is honestly, I like this more, but like Once I Cry, I just wanted on the playlist because I thought we're gonna end up taking all Uniform Choice rippers. So I wanted a little Sensi song on the playlist. Okay, I am going to take the best Black Flag song post 1981, and that is the band Blast with the song Fucking With My Head. I was thinking about taking Something Beyond. Shout out Jones. Shout out Belcher. But I got to go this. This is the Ripper. So good. So catchy. So gnarly. And it's everything that, you know, we wish Black Flag went on to be, but they had to bore us into oblivion and then break up. So yeah, this kicks ass. I love this LP. I like the whole thing. I think Blast is a band where they're better sum of all parts. I'm not plucking tracks. It's best to like put the record on, let it go. But if I got to choose a track off this record, I'm taking Fucking With My Head, dude. What do you think, Clevo versus Surf and Destroy?
I mean, they both have their place.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Okay, Ben, you want to say anything about this, or should I send it to Clevo for the final pick of the night?
There, there's a Black Flag song that this sounds so much like, and it's on the tip of my tongue. I want to say it's I Love You, maybe. It's like one of the Rollins era Black Flag songs, but it never occurred to me like, wow, this song sounds so much like that song. But just like Uniform Choice, you know, basing themselves on Minor Threat, Blast bases themselves on Black Flag, and that shit ends up being great. So cheers. More power to them.
Yeah, and Ben, you did call out my favorite song off My War.
But, that's it, though. Isn't
not
that the
better
song?
Than this.
Whatever Black Flag song. Can't decide. That's it. That's what the song is based on. Yep. Thank you.
There you go. Except this song isn't fucking 6 minutes, you know? So there's that. Okay. Clevo, let's go to you for your number seven.
So, you know, I usually take a left turn and take something not on Spotify, and there is so much great stuff that's not on Spotify from this year. Yep. But I'm taking something that I am shocked that Ben did not take this evening. And I'm taking Home of the Brave by Naked Ray Gun.
Nice.
From the All Rise LP. It is, of course, Naked Ray Gun. We've mentioned quite a few times on here. They write an album opener like nobody like nobody can, but also they reformed in around 2006, I want to say it was, and they played Riot Fest before Riot Fest was like this huge outdoor festival, and it was at the Metro in Chicago, and I went out for it. Effigies played, 7 Seconds played, The Business played, and Naked Ray Gun headlined. And they opened their set with this song. It's got some great whoa-whoas, just as you want. But I think just the way the single guitar kicks in, you know, single guitar just kicks in, the drums hit, and then, you know, Jeff comes in, it's like staring off into the night. And then just, I don't know, it's a great song. I was between this and Backlash Jack. Backlash Jack, I love that they just go straight up, and it's like the choruses are just the whoa-ohs on Backlash Jack. But this is a ripper. This was in their set, you know, all the time when they played, and I just it's a great song.
Yes, it's great. I'm so glad this got on the list. I feel a little dirty that Eliminator didn't make it on, but whatever. It is what it is. Ben, how do you feel about this song?
Clevo, I'll tell you why I didn't pick this, because I picked it for the 1985 Super 7 because I thought it came out in 1985 because it says copyright 1985 on the back of the fucking record cover. But you're right, it did come out in 86. And then I found out Throb Throb, which, you know, I picked one of those songs for the 84, that came out in 85. So everything is just pushed forward a year, and I had no idea until like 3 weeks ago. But cool. It's on both of the 85 and 86 Super 7. You can never have too much Home of the Brave.
That was also, didn't we have like the squirrel bait controversy with that too? Because I still have Skag Heaven on my list because I'm not sure if that came out in 86 or 87.
Yeah, that's another another squirrely one.
Yeah. Someone should do a bootleg of this band and only put the first songs, you know, one side of 12 inch with just like the first tracks. It'd be so ill.
I mean, you can make a Spotify playlist.
That's true. We can just make the playlist. Okay. Let's go to honorable mentions. Dan, are you going to be able to go back home to England now that everyone knows you didn't take anything off Grave New World?
Yeah. If I was going to take something off English in my honorable, well, if it was going to be in my seven, it would have been I Stand Accused by Angelic Upstarts. So good. But also on that LP, they do have a song called Stab in the Back. So it could really just resonate with the theme.
That's true. That's true.
Do you want my honorables?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So Stand Accused and Stab in the Back off Angelic Upstart's Power of the Press. Multiple songs from Cause for Alarm, but specifically The Eliminator, like you just said, you can't believe it's not on here. It is crazy. Eye Against Eye by Bad Brains, that I wanted that, but I was
surprised that it went as your first pick. I mean, no disrespect. They're just unbelievable. I just thought, you know, we were going to be messing around with stuff off of, you know, the big four, as we've called them now. But other songs that I would say, Don't Tread on Me, Cro-Max. even Malfunction, I'm going to say that. Can I Say by Dag Nasty, the title track? Such a fucking track, didn't get chosen. The Crippled Youth 7-inch, so many good songs on that. And, you know, Crummy Stuff off of Animal Boy by Ramones, and about six other songs off of Screaming for Change. Like, and about six more songs off of Break Down the Walls. There you go. Those are my, all of my, no one took anything off of Sam Hain, November Coming Fire.
Yeah, no one took anything off Crumbsuckers either.
Yeah. November Coming Fire, the song, but just in general, that record and that vibe and that, like, insanity. I'd be a poser if I was taking that stuff over, you know, repeated songs off my, like, pretty much top three hardcore LPs. So I'm not going to do that. But, I mean, November Coming Fire, Sam Hain or Sarwen or Clevo will correct me. Like, I'm really surprised nothing got chosen off of that. And yeah, there are fucking tracks on that LP. I'm out.
Yeah. Something off Cause for Alarm I thought would have gotten picked. I don't love that LP. If I'm ranking AF, it's like Victim in Pain all day. Then if we include Live at CBGB's, that's number two. Or One Voice is number two. And then it's kind of a, dude, you know what? Like, the 97 record like might be my number three. You know, I've never loved Cause for Alarm. Like, I know people love it. Although the Eliminator, especially live, is so undeniable. You know, Victim in Pain into the Eliminator, that's so fucking classic.
And the artwork for Cause for Alarm, fucking hell. So good.
See, I don't love that either.
Really?
I don't love that either, you know, and I don't love any of like the copies of it through the years. Like, I don't know. I like when you get like into the demon shit, you know, I've never really loved like the happy demons, you know, that has like a more happy demon vibe. I like the evil demons, you know, I don't know. It's like, I don't, whatever. It's classic. I can acknowledge that.
It's got a devil skin coming to kick you in the head with giant fucking ox blood boots.
But it's like, it. You guys made it a toy and it looks like it is a toy. Like, it's like, oh yeah, that's a toy. Like, it looks like a toy, dude. Anyway, yeah, something off that could have been picked. Something off the Crumbsuckers record probably should have been picked. That's it. My honorable mentions, it's just more songs off like these classic albums that I love. Like, that's it, or that one Ramon song. But yeah, I feel pretty good about my list. Ben, honorable mentions.
Descendants, Wendy, which is actually a Beach Boys cover, but it's a very good cover. The Lemonheads, Glad I Don't Know from the Laughing All the Way to the Cleaners EP. Sam Hain, Mother of Mercy. Firehose, Brave Captain. Blast, I Don't Need To. Government Issue, Visions And? Husker Du, Don't Want to Know If You Are Lonely. The Damned, Alone Again Or, which is a cover by the Los Angeles band Love. Bad Brains, House of Suffering. Ramones, Animal Boy, the title track off Animal Boy. Grey Matter, Chutes and Ladders. Painkillers, I'm Living on Bulk Food from the Savages Are Loose DC Mystic Comp. It is a terrible compilation, but this song has always had a soft spot in my heart. The Faction, I Decide for Me. Agent Orange, Fire in the Rain, which was in the movie River's Edge. So it was actually, strangely, the first Agent Orange song I ever heard. Underdog, Not Like You from the Underdog 7-inch. Crippled Youth, K-Town Mosh Crew. Instead, Time to Change from their demo 86. The song Time to Change sounds to me like the blueprint for Pennywise's sound. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not. Angry Samoans, Psych Out 129. Justice League, Chain of Strength. That's where the band Chain of Strength got their name from. D.I., Pervert Nurse. Some sources say this record came out in 85. It, in fact, came out in 86. Crumb Suckers, Just Sit There. Squirrel Bait, Kid Dynamite. Who knows what year that actually came out. Gangrene, Alcohol, and Straight Ahead, Spirit of Youth.
Yeah, anything by Straight Ahead could have made it too, for sure. Clevo, honorable.
7 Seconds, Calendar, off New Wind. Agnostic Front, Your Mistake, which is kind of cheating, but it's the best song on Cause for Alarm. 100%. House of Suffering, Bad Brains. Crippled Youth, Can't You See? Great mid-tempo, just grinder. Really wanted to get that on there, and I didn't. Descendants in Joy, there's a couple tracks on there. We Miss the Crumb Suckers. Husker Du, Don't Want to Know If You're Lonely. Murphy's Law, didn't get them on there, so I guess that goes against what we said about the top 100 the other day. Samhain, I actually prefer Initium to November Coming Fire, but the song November's Fire or In My Grip are bangers. I didn't realize the Underdog 7-inch came out this year, and I probably would have taken them with my last pick. Slapshot, Chip on My Are Shoulder.
The Underdog 7-inch was this year?
Yeah.
I said it in my intro.
And he just said it in his honorable mentions, and that's when I saw it. Slapshot, Chip on My Shoulder, Verbal Assault, Gray, Septic Death, Hardware. It's not on Spotify. I really should have taken that. Gauza, Equalizing Distort, especially Distort Japan, also not on Spotify. One Last Wish, 1986. SNFU, If You Swear You'll Catch No Fish. Squirrel Bait, again, we don't know when that came out. Firehose, Brave Captain, Fernatus Kappus. And it's not a song, but also in 1986 is the New York Hardcore episode of Donahue. If you have never seen it, it is fully on YouTube. When they're talking about the lyrics to Public Assistance and Vinny Stigma just appears, says what is basically Billy Madison's speech in the debate. And thinks he's just so proud of what he says. It absolutely makes no sense. It is the best thing ever. There's just like so many other things. Harley saying he never made it to school. Capo talking about bands going to major labels and the Cro-Mag staring daggers through them. Trust me, do yourself a favor. Watch it. It is worth it, the 45 minutes.
Yeah, we should do a watch along. That'd be good for a Patreon. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah. Murphy's Law self-titled, definitely notable. Glad you called that out, Clevo. Crucial Barbecue up there.
Sit Home and Rot, Crucial Barbecue.
Yeah, Sit Home and Rot, and Crucial Barbecue.
Care Bear is the deep cut that has like multiple mosh parts.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to put this head to head at some point with a second one. I lean second one more than this. But we'll see. We'll see. I got them both. Okay. Everyone.
Can I ask one thing really quick?
Sure.
Now, this is unprecedented. This is a thing. But just learning that, is there any way I could remove one of my Cro-Mag tracks and put Underdog Say It to My Face in there?
Nope.
Damn it. I mean, I've still got world peace. Like it's not that much of a booby prize, but I would like to say it to my face.
Yeah. You got to listen to Ben on those intros, dude.
I never do.
I know. It's like, okay, Ben, tell me about 86 and I go pee. So I missed it too, but hey, what are you going to do? Okay. Everyone, 1986, killer year for hardcore. We will post our lists, this week. Some point, and you can vote on who had the best list. You know who had the best list. Look no further than me. But that's what's up. Dan, where can the people find you?
Crying in the corner because I don't have Say It to My Face on my list. But you know what? I'm going to go listen to it as soon as we're done recording. I am on Instagram at Southport Instagrammer.
I think Say It to My Face was on my New York Hardcore list.
Yeah.
I know I selected it before. I can't remember what, like which one we did it for. Anyway, Ben, where can people find you?
You can email me xbenedgex@yahoo.com. And I totally would have picked something off One Last Wish from the 1986 album, but it came out in 1999. So it's one of those weird things where it's like it was recorded and then it came out many, many years later. So that album is fucking great. That is all I have to say.
Clevo, where can people find you?
At Clevo on Instagram. Yeah, that One Last Wish is the best piece of Empire worship from that scene. It's so good.
Everyone get at me, 185milessouth@gmail.com. I respond to everyone. Also, 185milessouth on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads. Yeah, it's there. Zach Retaliate is my personal on Instagram. And you know, Retaliate is the best on Instagram. Everyone, we love you all. We'll talk to you next Monday on Patreon.
When there's silence, friends need not speak. It's understood. Die, I would. And when there's silence, cultures appear as one. Colors are blurred. My brother, I heard. When there's silence, meanings all seem clear. Distractions unknown, uniformly alone. And when there's silence, love has no hurt. Despair cannot live. Words take, I give. The sound of no sound is the most deafening of all. The feeling of no feeling is the most painful of all. And yet we must endure. For I do now, and forever shall, love all things that are real, even when silence is broken.